Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Micah chapter 6, if we go back to verse 6, it says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" Now, some people stop at that and think, oh boy, here it comes. You know, you think here's this big laundry list of requirements that the Lord requires of you. You know, there's a lot. Well, no. Now, he started off thinking, bringing 10,000 rivers of oil and thousands of rams, that's a lot. That's a lot of work. Right? You had to get the rams, you had to bring the rams. There's a lot involved in that. And yet God just breaks it all down, makes it so simple. He says, this is what is good to him. This is what the Lord requires of you, is that you do justly. Do justly to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So powerful. Walk humbly with your God. Receive his mercy. Be merciful. Love mercy. You know, when you recognize how much mercy you need, you'll love mercy. Right? And you'll be good at giving mercy to others. So love mercy. Do justly. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. We all know what the right thing is. Do the right thing. Follow those convictions of your heart. Don't violate your conscience. Don't do the wrong thing thinking that, you know, somehow this is what you need to do in order for things to turn out right for you. No. Trust in God. God will cause things to turn out right for you. Stay with the right thing. Do the right thing even when it looks like it's going to cause things to go wrong for you. Don't panic. Don't get under pressure. Walk humbly with God. Do the right thing. Love mercy. Do justly. And walk humbly with your God, understanding that he is awesome. He is God. And every good thing you have has come from him. All good things come from him. And when you're walking humbly with him, you're gonna seek him. You're going to keep your attention on him. And the result of that is going to be faith. You're going to have faith in the grace of God. Or we could say you're going to have faith in the ability of God, the strength of God. And we need his strength. We need his ability. We can't make it in our own strength. We thought we could and we thought we had, but we really didn't. He was there behind the scenes. Even when we weren't putting our attention on him. In his mercy, he was sustaining us. He was protecting us. He was guiding us. But now he wants us to get over into the place where we knowingly trust in him and believe him for his strength. Believe him for his ability in our life. And as we grow in our faith, in our confidence in God, then we're going to see more and more and more of his ability, his strength, manifesting in every area of our life. So we got to realize, you know, there's some things we look and say, I got this, I got this. You ain't got nothing in and of yourself. The only way you're going to have that is by recognizing someone has you. You know, God's got this. God's got me. And therefore, I got this. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got this because he's got me. That's how it works. So why don't you say it? Say, I got this because God's got me. Yeah, and this could be anything. Could be anything. So in everything we do, we need to be looking to the grace of God, and faith in God taps into the grace of God. And again, the grace of God is the ability of God. It's His ability, His wisdom, His strength. And so it takes faith to tap into that and receive that for ourselves. Pride says, I don't need God, I can do this. Pride doesn't counsel with God about things. Pride counsels with itself, and it counsels with others who live out of their own wisdom. But humility walks with God. Humility comes, presents itself before the Lord, and asks Him, how do I do this? You show me how to do this. I remember when I got saved and I got over in the Word of God, I got so excited because immediately I started receiving instruction on how to live life from the Scriptures. As I got in the Word, I began to get understanding about things. I mean, it was supernatural. I didn't go in there thinking I could figure it out. The Holy Spirit, the grace of God, just began to reveal the wisdom of God to me, began to teach me. Man, I got so excited about it. And I loved going over to the book of Proverbs and just meditating on Proverbs, just full of little nuggets, you know. Each verse is just a nugget of wisdom. It says so much. And I just love to just get in there and just download that wisdom of God, download those nuggets in there, and just excited to learn about how to live life. God gives us instruction if we're listening, if we're looking to Him. He will give us instruction in every area of life. And the Bible says that we are to acknowledge Him in all our ways, not just in a few of our ways. In all of our ways, not in just desperate situations. A lot of times things get desperate, people run to God. God, what do I do? What do I do? God, what do I do? Well, what about when it doesn't seem desperate? When it doesn't look like, you know, there's any really big deal. You got this. You can figure this out. You can do this thing. It's in times like that, especially, that we need to humble ourselves and recognize, now, Lord, I need your guidance on this. You know, everybody's heard about the walls of Jericho coming down, right? Children of Israel went in, they marched around Jericho 7 times, they shouted, you know, by the instruction, the leading of the Spirit of God. They shouted, blew the trumpets, and the walls around this city, this fortified city, went down flat into the ground. And the children of Israel were able to go in and just take that city. So, I mean, they felt like more than conquerors at that point. Now, they needed God. They knew that. I mean, they're looking at this big walled city. Oh, man, we cannot do this in our own strength. So they were relying on God, and God said, all right, now follow me very closely. I want you to go around this city 7 times, 7 days. This is exactly how I want you to do it. And on the 7th day, this is exactly what I want you to do. And they did exactly what He told them to do, because they recognize they ain't getting in this city without supernatural help. And they got the supernatural help. And they took the city. And then right after that, the saddest thing happened, but something that is so common. There was another city called Ai. And the children of Israel looked and said, oh, this is a little city. Obviously didn't have the same fortified walls like Jericho, and didn't have the same size army, and it just didn't seem like that big of a deal. And so they thought, well, we could do this. So they began to think how many troops they would need to send, and they had sent out spies. They figured out what they could do. And so they said, well, we only need so many to go to this battle. And they just sent out, you know, as many as they thought needed to go. And the children of Israel that went to the battle, they were whipped. They were beaten bad. I mean, people died. And the children of Israel were left running. Their army was left running away from the people of Ai. And so they were just devastated. They couldn't understand what had happened. Well, first thing that happened was they did not counsel with the Lord, because this was an easy thing. This was an easy thing. Well, there were some spiritual things that they needed to know before going into this battle. It was more than just how things appeared according to the flesh. According to the flesh, it looked easy. Yeah, we can do this. But there's a lot of things we don't see that are attached to the things involving our life. There's a lot of things we can't see into the realm of the spirit and see behind the situation. We can't see what the devil's plotting. There's a lot we don't know what's going on. There's things we do know what's going on, but then there's a lot that we don't know what's going on in those same things, concerning those same things that we know a lot about. So that's why we have to go with the Lord. We have to understand we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We are dealing with demons, supernatural forces that are trying to hinder us in life, trying to destroy us. So we have to go to God on everything, every little thing. Lord, what about this? So he says, well, man, I work out and I eat and I do my vitamins and I keep myself in great shape and I feel good. Nice. That's what you know. What you don't know is what's going on behind the scenes. What does the enemy have planned for you? What is he trying to bring to pass in your life? Do not rely on your vitamins. Don't rely on the blood pressure machine. Don't trust in medication. You have to go to God when it looks bad or it looks great. You need him to order your every step. Because he knows everything. He knows everything. And he's got the perfect plan for you and I. And there might be some things he'll tell you. Yeah, you're doing just fine. And you'll just have that knowing within you. You know, that confirmation in your heart that we're on track. We're doing the right thing. We just need to keep doing this thing. And so just keep on going. Just keep on. But keep on checking with him. Keep on checking with him. Always be listening. Always be listening. Because we never know what has shifted and what has changed on us in the spirit. And so if we'll stay sensitive to him, praise God, walking humbly with him, we'll be able to avoid a whole lot of problems in life. So we go to him for everything. We're looking to him by faith, looking to his grace. Faith brings the grace, ability of God into our life. Fear is the opposite of faith. And fear will bring weakness into our life. And so we got to keep ourselves out of fear. That's one of the things this world is always trying to promote in us is fear. Because the god of this world is the devil. You know, a lot of folks don't talk much about the devil. I feel led to say a bunch about him today. Because a lot of times people forget. It's because of the devil that Jesus came here. He came to destroy the works of the devil. His very purpose for his coming was to destroy, undo everything that devil had done to mankind. And to give us authority over demons and devils. So we can rule and reign in life and not be victims of whatever the devil would try to scheme against us. So we can't forget we have an enemy. We can't become ignorant of that. And so this enemy is working in the world to always try to create fear in people. And when you're over in fear, you'll be weak. I mean, it's amazing how fear can grip you and cause you to just become so weak so fast. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that before, but I had times where a thought or something and fear came and I was losing all my strength. One time it was so bad I thought I was going to pass out. I didn't know what was happening. No, now it was fear. A lot of times folks are dealing with symptoms in their bodies. They're having symptoms. Their heart, their everything. I mean, things don't feel right. And the root of it is fear. They're having a panic attack. Their body is reacting to fear and literally creating more symptoms as a result of their fear. So if we can get the fear out, then we can get the weakness out. And we could step over into strength and walk in the strength of God and thus be a strength to others. This is the big thing. We don't want to just be strong for ourselves. We want to be strong because we want to impart strength to others. I don't want to be before you all. I don't want to be before the congregation and be weak and full of fear and have all kinds of issues going on in my life and then get up here and minister to you. I want to minister strength to you. I want to impart faith to you. I want to put courage in you. I want to put boldness in you. I want to be a blessing. And so I want to be blessed. Because the more I'm blessed, the more I can be a blessing. Hallelujah. And so when it comes to children, raising children, the more blessed the parents are, the more full of God, the more full of faith parents are, the more they can put strength and faith and confidence, courage in their children. And so many times, parents are full of fear about money, they're in fear about so many different things, and then they just put all that fear in their kids. And they react to stuff, and then they teach their kids to react to stuff. And the kids never see daddy and mommy worshiping God. They don't see fear, you know, they don't see faith coming out of their parents. They see fear. So they learn fear. And fear can be imparted. We can impart faith or we can impart fear. What do you want to impart? You want to impart strength or you want to impart weakness? You want to be a blessing or you want to be a liability? You want to be a curse? What do you want to be? I want to be a blessing. Don't you? Hallelujah. Thank God we can. Praise God. So in training up children and being a blessing to children, it starts with making sure that we're being trained. That we're being trained by God's word. We're allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to train us, to equip us, to build us up in our faith. Because some things are taught, other things are caught. And so we can teach people all the right things, but then every time they get around us, they catch a cold. They catch something else, right? I mean, a doctor can, you know, he could teach you all about medicine. He could teach you all about good health. But if he's walking around with his nose running and he's coughing on everybody, you say, man, we went and we sat under this doctor, and this doctor was teaching us all about health and healthy living, and we all got sick because he was coughing on everybody, and we all caught what he had. So we got what he taught, but we also got, yeah, we got what we caught from him. You following me? So we don't want to just teach it. We want to be it. We want to live it. We want to have it. God's got to train us first. And that's all part of walking humbly with him. Recognize, what can I do for anybody else if I'm not walking with you? How can I help anybody else if I'm not relying and trusting in you? People can only lead me into the thing that I'm walking into. I can only lead people where I'm going. It's not just standing and saying, you go there, make a left, make a right. Now, I ain't going there, but you go up there, make a left, make a right. And I don't really know what's around that corner there. Just watch yourself, but just go. Let me know how it turns out for you. That's not what we should be doing. We shouldn't just be pointing over there about, oh, God's good. You see that over there? God's good. And we tell them all about the good things of God and all these things, but we're way over here walking in something else. No, we need to be going in that direction and learning from the word and learning from experience about how good God is. Learn about the grace of God. Learn about God's ability and strength, and then being able to bring that to others and impart that to others. Can you say amen? So faith can be imparted. And like I said, just like parents raising their children, you can raise them in fear. If you're in fear about money, you got to watch what you're doing. If you're always uptight and fearful about the money and about the circumstances, and that's where you always are, then that's what you're teaching your kids. And a lot of times they'll take it to the next level for you. Whatever you give to them, they'll take it to the next level. when they get older. So we don't want to pass on fear to the next generation. We don't want to pass on fear to anybody. Isn't that right? And fear is hereditary. And faith is hereditary. And we see that over here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. To Timothy, my beloved son. Now notice that. My beloved what? Son. Now some people that don't understand scripture and don't have a license to preach shouldn't. You know, I say, well, you see, now this is Paul's son, so Paul had to be married. Well, no, Paul wasn't married, and this wasn't his natural offspring. Okay? Wasn't his natural offspring. This is his spiritual son. It's his son in the faith. See, he's passed faith on to this young man by the name of Timothy. He's passed his faith on to him. His faith is in Timothy. And it's a spiritual thing. And so he says, my son, Timothy. My son, Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. So, you know, Paul has a rich heritage. He looks back, and he looks back at his forefathers, and he sees men of faith. Isn't that a great thing? He looks back, he sees men of faith who served God with a pure conscience. Men who knew how to pray. Well, you see, he's making reference to that because that's affected him. So it's interesting. You see here, he's spiritually calling Timothy his son. Right? Because he recognizes that he's imparted faith into Timothy, and then he immediately turns around and recognizes his forefathers and how he has inherited faith from them and had faith imparted to them, had faith imparted to him from them. So he's recognizing that he also has received from others this faith that he now walks in. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. How many people could say that this morning? You know, we need to be able to have this same kind of confidence, man, that I serve God with a pure conscience. No more guilty consciences. The day of the guilty conscience is over. Come on, there's no reason to have a guilty conscience. We can walk humbly with our God. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We can obey the convictions of our heart and not have a bunch of guilt that we're carrying around. If you have missed it, then you're quick to repent. And you get yourself purified. Every time you repent, you get yourself purified. And you become more pure. When you sincerely repent, you're getting all that worldly wrong stuff flushed out of your system. Repentance is like a good water filter. You know, we had a good water filter here at the church, but it wasn't good enough. So then we got this other filtering system. It's got three filters, then a little fourth filter. It's got all kinds of things. And it just filters everything out of it. I mean, just filters the water real pure. I like that. I like drinking pure water. I like being pure. I like being pure. I want to be pure. We've got living water on the inside of us. We want it to flow out of us pure. And repentance filters out all the contaminants of the mind and the soul and the flesh. Did you get that? So you take responsibility of areas you've missed in life and take it seriously, and you present that to God, and you repent, confess it to him. And what did you just do? You just filtered out stuff out of your system. You weren't just forgiven, but you were cleansed. You are purified from all unrighteousness so that you're getting purer and purer and purer because you're patient with yourself, you're growing in your faith, you're confessing your sin to God, and you get more and more pure. So we can stand before God and say with a pure conscience, I'm serving God without ceasing. I remember you, Timothy, in my prayers night and day. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Notice again, he says, man, I'm serving God like my forefathers. And he says, Timothy, he says, I see that faith in you. It's the same faith that was in your mother Lois and also in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Wow. Again, he's recognizing that faith is inherited. It's inherited. And then he goes on in verse 6 and says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So notice he flows right into this. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift which was given to you through the laying on of my hands. And that's speaking of impartation. And we're seeing here that through the laying on of hands, faith, grace, God's ability, God's strength can be imparted to people through the laying on of hands. The power and ability of God can be imparted to people. We see over here in Deuteronomy 34, great example of grace being imparted through the laying on of hands. That might seem like a silly thing. You know, again, in the natural, what in the world is laying hands on somebody gonna do? And a lot of churches, they'll lay hands on people, but it's just a ceremonial thing. It's just something they're just doing in the natural. And it is symbolic of something that God's, you know, it's symbolic of separating somebody. It's just more of a, it's more of symbolism. And there's really no power to it. But no, friend, again, there are spiritual things that go on behind the natural things of life. There are spiritual things that go on. And Paul is saying, Timothy, there's something in you. Through the laying on of my hands. There's a gift in you. There's an endowment of the grace of God, the ability and strength of God. Now, you've received some things from your grandmother. You've got some things in you from your mother. And you got some things in you from me as your spiritual father. Through my laying hands on you, I have imparted things into you. I have imparted God's things into you, God's ability into your life. And look over here, Deuteronomy 34. Oh, this is so exciting. Deuteronomy 34, and in verse 9, it says, now Joshua, the son of a Catholic nun. No, I'm sorry. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua, we know he took Moses' place after Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now it was time for the children of Israel to go in again into the promised land. First battle is Jericho. And Joshua is the man to lead it. And it says concerning Joshua that he was full of the spirit of wisdom. Now, how did he get full of the spirit of wisdom? Well, you think, well, man, he prayed. And he probably fasted a lot. And no doubt, I'm sure he did those things. We know he was a man of prayer. We see that in the scriptures. But yet that is not what God gives credit to him having the spirit of wisdom. God doesn't give the credit to his praying, fasting, studying the scriptures, showing up at the tabernacle on time, listening to the words of Moses. All that is a part of us growing spiritually and being able to walk in the things God has given us. But notice what God attributes to this man being full of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. It was Moses having laid his hands on him. I mean, you think, what's so big about, I mean, lay your hands, what can really happen in a few minutes? In just a few minutes of someone laying their hands on somebody. What can really happen? And I really think this is important for us to get a hold of, because I'm sensing that it's a possibility that we're going to see a lot of the laying on of hands this year. I just feel like there's things coming on me, there's things going on that I just feel like God is wanting to transmit and impart through the laying on of hands this year. There's a lot of things that we need that we don't quite have yet. There's some things that we're going to need going into the days ahead. There's some big things that God's going to accomplish in the days ahead. And I'm just feeling like that we're going to be doing some laying on of hands this year more than we usually have. Because there's some things God needs to get over to us. He needs to get imparted into us. Joshua had been, being a good godly man, fearing the Lord. But now here he's taking over for Moses. He's stepping into something, into a greater level of responsibility, a greater office of service to God than he ever has before. He's stepping into some new things, and so now he needs some things right now that it will take too long for him to get through just studying the scriptures. He needs to keep studying the scriptures. God tells him that in Joshua chapter 1, not to let the word depart from before him, but to meditate in it day and night. Need to do that. But even in doing that, there's some things you need to get that you need to have now that it would take too long for you to get just by studying the scriptures and just get it on. You're going to need some hands laid on you. You're going to need to get some things that I've already established, well established in other people's lives. There's graces and there's a level of faith that Moses was walking in that allowed Moses to have things that Joshua didn't have that Joshua needed right now. And just think about this. Just through the laying on of hands. How long did that take? Huh? Minute? 30 seconds? Come over here, Joshua. Lord, impart to you the things you have needed. You're blessed. That's it. Anybody stand around? Joshua himself is probably standing there going, whew, praise God. Okay, that was good. But the impact, the result of that moment where hands were laid on him caused him to be full of the spirit of wisdom, to know things, to understand things. All of a sudden now, he's got insight into stuff that he didn't know before. He's able to understand and answer questions that he couldn't answer before. He wouldn't have been able to figure this thing out on the level of faith that he was in. But now suddenly, he's got the answers for the nation. He knows what needs to happen. Praise God. Well, this is what parents can do for their children. As you're growing in faith, as you're growing in the grace of God, now you have a child, you can raise that child up and be imparting who you are, what you have become in Christ Jesus. You can be imparting that into your children so that they get a real good head start in life. Now, ultimately, they still have to make their own decisions. Children still have to make their own decisions. Children can still make stupid decisions. So it's not all on the parents, because everybody's got a free will. Everybody's got a free will. The Lord showed me that years back, that you can't take the cares of your children. You can't feel like it's all on you. I've watched parents, Christian parents, just get all messed up backslide on God because they felt guilty for the way the direction that their children were going now that they were older. And they're running out, they're chasing their children, they're trying to rescue their children, they're doing all this compromising to try to win their child back. And they're just messing themselves up because they're taking all the care of the outcome of their child upon themselves. And it'll ruin you as a parent. It'll ruin you. You can't do that. You got to be responsible, do what's your responsibility, but also recognize God's bigger than you. And he plays a greater role in your child's life than you. Now, you play an important role as a parent. Parents play an important role in their child's life, but God plays a more important role because he's with them 24/7, or at least needs to be, right? You can never be there 24/7. You can't get in their head. You can't talk to their thoughts, can you? You can't convict and influence their friends. You can't order their steps. You can't deal with demons and things. There's a lot you cannot do because you're human. You're limited. But God can be there 24/7 working behind the scenes, influencing friends, ordering steps, getting them in the right car that they don't get in that car. And you know what I'm saying? Convicting them and dealing with them and have his angels charge over them. I mean, God's got a big job. And again, when you recognize that, it humbles you to realize, well, you got the bigger load here. So the outcome of their life, I trust you with that. I trust you with that. That doesn't make me irresponsible. I'm still going to be what I need to be and be responsible with what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be responsible. And my greatest responsibility is to walk humbly with my God, to grow in the faith of God, to grow in the grace of God, and to become a greater source of strength and blessing to others. That's our responsibility, number one. And then how things turn out isn't necessarily a reflection of you. Because again, everybody's got their own will, right? I mean, Adam and Eve, who raised them? Who raised Adam and Eve? Who mentored them? Who walked with them in the cool of the day in the garden? Who trained them up in the way that they should go? Huh? God. And what happened to them? They made bad decisions, didn't they? They made bad decisions. They made bad decision, and they went where God told them not to go. They did the wrong thing, and it cost them dearly. But praise God, it ended happy. We don't hear much about it, but God did clothe them with the blood-stained skins of an animal sacrifice. He clothed them. He provided atonement for them. He provided mercy and forgiveness for them. They didn't end up like Cain out there somewhere, wandering out there in the world. No, no, no. They got back into God's arms, got back in God's arms, back in his embrace, and he was able to redeem them. And he was able to bless them. So thank God. God is a big God, right? But here, his kids went off on him for a little while, didn't they? It cost him. It caused him all kinds of trouble. But then he was able to take them back. He was able to get things cleaned up and fixed up. So we can't take all the care and all the weight. It's too heavy. Man, when I start feel like I'm carrying stuff that's heavy, I quickly recognize it and go, wait a second, I'm carrying stuff that's too heavy, and I cast it over on the Lord. Because anything that's heavy, it goes unto him. Because he said to me, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. So we're going to keep it light and easy. Everybody say light and easy. Light and easy. Hallelujah. We're going to keep it light and easy, praise God. So, you say, I don't have a good heritage. When I look back at my family tree, it's a bunch of nuts. It's a nut tree. It's a nut tree. Pastor, it's a nut tree. I got good news for you. There's an axe. And it's called repentance. And when you repent and turn your life to Jesus, that tree goes down and you are now being raised up a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. You got yourself a fresh start. And praise God, you could be the beginning of great things for future generations in your family. The curse stops here. That curse ain't going to get passed down any further. What was that curse of alcoholism and drug addiction, and that curse of this and curse of that, that was in my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my mama and my daddy? Praise God, it's not in me also, hallelujah. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and now I'm in the family of God, hallelujah. And my DNA is different. My DNA is different. That's what the Bible means when it says over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are of a different seed. Now we are of the family of Jesus, and that is our heritage. We look back at him. And there's no curse in him. So no curses run in my family. Blessings run in my family. The anointing runs in my family. Faith runs in my family. Come on. Strength runs in my family. The goodness of God, the wisdom of God, that is running in my family. Because we're in the family of God. And then God puts you in a church and he anoints leaders and he allows hands to be laid on us to cause us to be able to go places where we just wouldn't be able to get to if we were just relying on our own faith in Christ. We need booster shots of faith. Hallelujah. Booster shots of faith. Quick changes. I'm all into quick, big transformations really fast. How about you? Thank God for the slow stuff, but I like the suddenlies. I like the quick stuff. I like the microwave blessings too, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord this morning for the word.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.